Hi all, my name is Andy Privateer, and if you're a little newer to the RPG cast, I am the co-owner of RPGamer.com alongside my spouse Chris, who will be hosting this episode. We're going to jump into the regular podcast in just a second, but I wanted to take a minute to discuss the passing of someone who is really integral to the growth of the RPG genre, and you've probably never actually heard of them. Andrew Dice, more well known by his moniker Space Drake, was half of Carpe Fulgur, the company that localized Reseteer, and really kicked off a renaissance of JRPGs being released on PC outside of Japan. He was a large part of localizing the Trails of series, sometimes known as Kiseki, and more recently has worked on several of the Super Robot Wars titles. Hey, remember when those translations suddenly got good? You can thank Andrew for that. But what you may not have known is how tirelessly behind the scenes he worked to advocate for larger companies to release their games localized on Steam, even traveling to visit studios in Japan for this advocacy. If you've ever enjoyed a Final Fantasy title or Monster Hunter on PC, you actually have Andrew to thank for that in small part. Andrew's business partner at Carpe Fulgur announced this week his passing, and while normally this is the time people would drop a PSA about reaching out for help if you need it, I'm actually going to flip the script a little this time. If you've never had it, it's hard to really envision how soul-crushing depression can be, even when your life is going great. So here's my challenge to you as listeners. Take a moment to reach out to someone this week. Doesn't even have to be a grand gesture. It can just be a, hey man, how's it going? I'm here as an ear if you ever want to talk. And really, you don't need to be anyone's psychiatrist, but I can't emphasize enough how big of a difference hearing just one person cares can make to someone who's feeling blue. So be that lifeline. Anyways, I know it's not really fun front-loading a podcast with the sads, but if you stuck with me through this, thank you. Oh, and capitalism, ho! Thanks, Andrew. Now on to the main show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast, episode 785 for the week of September 27th, 2025. I'm Chris Privateer. Hello, how are you? I hope you're doing great. Joining me today is Kelly Ryan.
Hello.
And Josh Carpenter.
Hello, hello.
We consulted Josh for legal advice earlier, but now that the show's officially started, he's not providing any legal advice.
Nope.
I want you to know, none.
This
is not an attorney-client relationship here.
Yeah. Oh, well.
We had been chomping at the bit to get his opinion on the Pokemon patent lawsuit stuff, and he has good insight. I feel enlightened.
Well, good.
See, I thought that the lawsuit was going to be about how close the designs were for the Pokemon.
That's not patent. That would be, you know, trademark more so. Copyright.
Yeah, not necessarily the gameplay mechanics. So that was kind of an interesting warning thing. And then them announcing the farming game, and people pissed, like, are you going to have your base game go out of early access anytime soon?
And if you've done the work on that company's history, the answer is no. They don't ever bring anything out of early access, apparently. It's just not what they do. They early access for a while and then move on to the new hotness. Remember, we told everybody that when it came out, and everyone was like, oh, who cares? We're having fun now. And now people are caring.
Well, they had to get that announcement out just in case the Power World thing goes tits up.
Mm. I guess.
I don't know. That's just my guess. I could be 100% wrong.
Nah, I hear you. Does that mean you're playing Power World this week?
No.
No. Okay.
No, I'm in the Kimco pit.
Why?
Kelly, Kimco alert. Kimco alert. Send rescue efforts to Kelly Ryan.
So I had finished As Divine Hearts and then got rolled credits in and got to the end, and they're like, well, now you have to make a different decision in the final boss fight and get the true ending.
Okay.
I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to do this. And then booted up As Divine 2 and certain characters were... Should I just go ahead and spoil this?
I don't know. How long ago was it out?
I mean, it's a Kimco game.
Why don't we just say certain characters that you thought shouldn't be there were there?
Yeah.
Which means you needed to go get the real ending.
Yeah. And the real ending was kind of a bitch because that's when they broke out the really nasty boss fights. The ones that I had, because I had been playing on easy and just been kind of cruising through everything. And some of the boss fights and the epilogue were just nightmares. I had to like look up strategies and stuff.
Even on easy.
And, yeah. Huh.
Man.
And got the true ending and was like, okay, well, this is a little bit of a better ending and this makes a lot more sense than the ending that I got. But also, should I feel bad that I got the true ending in a Kimco game and not any of the Dragon Quest games?
Yes. Yes, you should. You should. I think, yes.
I feel very guilty now.
You should.
But, and then it's like, well, I'm not really feeling this as Divine 2 yet. I want to play something different. So I booted up Illusion of Lavicia.
That's another Kimco game.
Yeah, it's another Kimco game. Chris, this one has 3D battles.
Well, wait, but why? You finished the real ending to play the sequel, and now you're not playing this.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do for you, Kelly.
I don't know what to do either.
So I'm trying to look up Illusion of Palacia, and the answers I'm getting are just all Lies of P results. Huh. No, I spelled it wrong. That's why. But like, Google, help me out a little. All right. Oh, this one has a cat in it. Now I know why.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a cat in your party. Therefore, Kelly said, oh, I'll play that.
Yeah. That cat is basically a ripoff of Red 13.
And you're okay with that?
Yeah. It's basically the same character, but I mean, it's another Kimco RPG. The 3D battles look very PS1.
Kelly.
Which is kind of interesting.
The cat has a mullet.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, technically.
And so pigtails? It's very confusing.
Technically, so does Red 13. Now that
no,
I
don't you do
it.
That to me. No.
What? Point out
that Red 13 has a mullet? What respect is
either
left?
A mullet or a mohawk. I mean, what's the difference? Also, you sound kind of quiet.
Mm. Sorry.
There you go.
Sorry. Because, you know, mullets. I don't know.
But I didn't get very far in that. Or, I mean, I basically kind of did the opening sequence. I had kind of a busy week this week, being by myself and having elderly pets to take care of. And let me tell you, having to coax a blind dog to go out is exercise. It's like, come on, buddy, come on, you can do it. As he runs into the door.
Oh, God.
Well, no, I say runs, bumps into the door because he can't really run anymore.
Yeah.
Nor should he be.
We had to go take him to get his nails done yesterday, and that didn't go well at all because he was so freaked out. Guys, we're going to have to probably get a stroller for him. We're going to be that couple.
Yep, pushing your pet around the neighborhood.
And explaining, like, guys, he's blind. We can't walk him. But back to games. The other thing I played this week is Blippo Plus, which, Chris, I saw you had on your wish list.
I may have, but that doesn't mean I remember.
So Blippo Plus is an FMV game where the premise is that you've hacked into a signal across the galaxy to basically watch space cable. And the whole thing has a very 80s aesthetic. The interface looks like the old TV Guide channel, which I don't know if any of you remember what that looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Vaguely, yeah.
And you basically just watch these weird vaporwave TV shows. I can't even remember the name of them now. I need to look them up. And it's just all kind of surreal. And the reason why I bought this was because I thought that maybe there was going to be like an ARG element to it, but I haven't got to it yet. And there's like a progress bar for how much you've watched. And depending on what you've watched, it'll unlock like data. You'll get messages that says that it unlocks data packets for like additional episodes of certain TV shows. And each of them are kind of keep talking about this anomaly that happened that's causing this space cable signal to come over through your device. And I don't know if this is going to have like a overarching thing to it or not, because I haven't gotten very far because I'm trying to basically watch everything. But there are some channels that are literally nothing but static.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to watch, quote unquote, watch those just to basically 100% the data packets. Luckily, the quote unquote shows / FMV sequences are only about 5 minutes each, so it's not like you're watching a full 30-minute TV show. And as I don't know if this is just a gameplay element or not, but every once in a while you'll get a message popping up saying that your tuner is out of whack and you need to fix it, and you have to like go into the settings and mess with various settings to make the quote unquote tuner work again. And you know, you've got like a test pattern in the back, and you're tweaking this until you can get it right.
Controlling the horizontal and vertical until it looks good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, this has given me flashbacks.
So this was on the play, whatever it's called, the play date. Yeah.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
So, okay, so that explains why there's a low res mode.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. First published May 29th. So I think they, let's see. Blippo Plus uses all the buttons, crank, and accelerometer, but requires no skill or precision to operate. Closed captioning is provided. Okay. This game's developer created it without the use of generative AI. Okay. Neat. So yeah, they've got it all black and white on the play date, or you can play it in full 80s color on Steam, Itch, or Switch.
Oh, I didn't know it came out on Switch.
Yeah.
Because I went for the quote-unquote authentic experience and watched it on my TV.
Mm-hmm.
Via my Steam Deck dock.
Mm.
Though I've seen pictures of people doing the true authentic experience and watching it on a CRT.
Mm.
They get that full 80s vibe.
Yeah, but I mean, I could almost call this the Meow Wolf the game, because that place has that vibe and this thing has that vibe. It's all surreal, vaporwave, 80s cable craziness. And I want to see where it goes. And I think it's on sale right now for like $13. Yeah, $13.49. It literally just came out. It's by the same people that did Kentucky Route Zero.
Okay, yeah.
And I hadn't played that yet. Is that kind of a surreal?
My understanding is it is, but I haven't played it. Yeah.
Okay. I guess the developer is called Panic.
Panic is the... Well, Panic makes the play date, and I think they worked with them to publish it, but it was developed by Yacht and Noble Robot. And I think he... which one of these? I don't know which... I think Yacht is the ones who did Kentucky Route Zero.
Okay.
But
because I've heard Kentucky Route Zero is kind of a weird adventure type game.
Mm-hmm.
This is more of a weird FMV game. That was the other reason why I wanted to get it, because being a Sega CD owner, I enjoyed the era of the FMV game and kind of missed that.
It's also possible Yacht is just music. I'm very confused, I'll be honest. I don't know.
But don't know how to recommend this. You have to be, I feel like you have to be of a certain age to kind of appreciate something like this.
Mm-hmm.
We were joking pre-show that my poor husband made a Dreamcast reference at a work conference this week and said that people were like, what's a Dreamcast? And he was like, oh God, I'm old.
That's terrible.
I mean, we're approaching what, like 25 years from its release now?
27, I believe.
Oh, God.
Because we just hit the 999 anniversary.
My goodness.
Yeah. I've also joked that if I had a time machine, I would go tell Sega, like, hey, put a DVD player in it. Trust me. But I feel like Sega's problems go beyond just putting a DVD player in the Dreamcast.
Sega was already on its way down, even when the Dreamcast came out.
And yet, in 2025, they're still throwing shade at Nintendo.
Now it's nostalgia for the shade.
They had a very interesting trailer this week about Sonic Cross Worlds Racing, which came out that threw a little bit of shade at Mario Kart World. And called back to a very classic commercial from the Sega Genesis does from Nintendo era. Or, sorry, Genesis does what Nintendo era. So, it's kind of top of mind.
I love that commercial. You show it to me. It's great.
The new one or the old one?
The new one. Okay. Because they're referencing the old callback. One. That's why it's great.
But the subtle details, like having the cow in there.
Yeah.
That couldn't have been a coincidence because people were going nuts over the cow in Mario Kart World. But yeah, that's all I've played this week. It's been kind of a low-key gaming week for me. I'm in between games at the moment because I had finished Lies of P. And I was saving my thoughts on that for the backtrack, which is coming up in 2 weeks. And also, I'm pretty sure my Switch 2 is going to be here in 2 weeks, so I didn't really want to start anything too
big. Yeah.
Big, since Pokemon ZA is going to take up all of my time. So it's going to be kind of a weird couple of weeks, if I put it that way.
You're in an interregnum between big experiences.
Yeah, because I can't wait for Pokemon ZA. When does that come out? I'm trying to look it up as we speak.
Is that I thought it was mid-October.
Because I've got that edition that comes 10/16/25.
Yeah.
So not about 3 weeks from now. I timed that perfectly, actually, because I'm taking a vacation from the October 20th to the 24th, and my Switch 2 will get here on the 16th. So I'll have a whole week to play around.
Oh, so it's a staycation, just
yeah,
just a Pokemon-cation, basically?
Pretty much. Between all of the sick geriatric pets, we cannot afford to really do anything right now.
Aww.
Especially since the sick pets need 24/7 care.
Care, yeah.
And I don't want to put them in a boarding facility for the moment. And yeah, so my vacation will be to Lumiose City catching Pokemons. But
I'll be curious to see what you think of the Switch 2. Because it is different than the Switch.
I am excited for it. I'm not going to lie. I can't wait to check it out. I don't know how I'm going to handle like travel because I do bring my regular Switch with me on road trips and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't want to bring a $500 system with me on a road trip.
Trust me, it's bigger. You won't want to really travel with it anyway because it is the size of the Steam Deck.
Yeah, and I definitely don't bring my Steam Deck with me because, like, I don't even think I'd be able to power it just using the car adapter.
Yeah.
So I'd want to keep my old Switch around for just like playing Picross and stuff, but I don't know how multiboxing on a Switch system works with the account stuff.
It's, you know, like, it's not the greatest, but I haven't run into any problems with it yet. Like, once you set it up, you know, your account on both, you're able to play, games on both. You do have to plan ahead if you are just playing a Switch game with that stupid digital cart. You know, if it's a digital game, you do have to intentionally move it over. But okay. The rest of the cloud stuff just all seamless.
Okay, gotcha.
So, like, your save files will automatically load to the cloud and download between the consoles.
Okay, because it's mostly just going to be puzzle and Picross games.
Yeah, you're not going to have any problem.
Anything else that's actually going to require any sort of real power is going to be Switch 2. I'd actually saved playing that new, not Atelier game, the other one, Rune Factory game from when my Switch 2 gets here. Just because I have a feeling it'll run a little bit better.
Trying to remember, did the last one have some issues? I think it did.
The last Rune Factory?
Yeah.
I mean, it had a lot of pop-in, I'll tell you that.
Ooh.
I'd wake up and go to my crops and like wait a whole minute before seeing the status of them.
Oh.
And I think
hopefully that kind of stuff will be improved.
Yeah, and I think I remember reading on Blue Sky, our editor-in-chief, Alex, saying that Guardians of Azuna ran really pleasantly on Switch 2. And I don't know what version he has. Because I just bought the Switch 1 and I figured I would upgrade.
Yeah.
So, good times.
Good times.
You said that you were pretty busy this week, Josh. Have you played anything?
Yeah, I've been very busy. I'm very busy at work because it's the, you know, end of the fiscal year. So everything's got to be done by the 30th. One of those instances. So I've mostly been working till late. And then when I get done with work, I just like swap from my work computer to my my desktop computer and play some XCOM 2. So I think I'm trying to remember now. It's been a few weeks since I've been on. I think I mentioned starting it the last time I was on.
Yeah.
And the first run through of that, it's been too long since I had played XCOM. I totally biffed my first playthrough of the game because I got sucked into, you know, kind of like there's always like a handful of kind of like story events that you're, you know, that the game wants you to do, you know, like alien artifacts that you have to, you know, like do research on to actually, you know, advance the story. And I just totally screwed up and just kind of followed along like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll build that research facility so I can do the next bit of research on the alien tech so I can advance the story. And I got like 10 hours into the run and I'm like, wait a second, I've still only got 4 characters. The battles are getting really hard. Why haven't I unlocked the expansion of my party? And then I realized like, oh yeah, you numb nuts, you haven't you haven't built the facilities that will allow you to expand your party. And now I've got my base set up so that I'd have to, you know, spend a bunch of time and resources to do that, and I'd have to expand the power plant so I'd have enough power. And I'm like, I'm getting into these battles where every single battle, it's like 2 people are dead and 2 are wounded because I'm into the section of the game where they expect you to at least have 5, if not 6. And I kind of struggled with that for a while. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, this
playthrough is done.
Yeah, exactly. This I can see where this one's heading. So I like redid it. Poured all my resources immediately into expanding my party, and the second playthrough has gone very well, and I'm like basically at the end of the game now. It's even years later, boy, it still has its clunkiness to the game. I was in this one battle, and they're the XCOM 2 adds vipers, so there are these 6-foot 7-foot tall, like humanoid-esque snakes that have both the ability to use a incredibly long tongue to grab your characters from like halfway across the map and pull them over to them. And then also like act like a boa constrictor and just kind of like slowly suck the life out of your character, like a few hit points at a time. And you, in order to like save your character who gets caught in the bind, you have to like at least attack it, if not kill the viper. And so like one of my characters happened to them. The viper is up on the second floor of this building, and all the buildings in XCOM are destructible, both obviously with explosives, but even just like your more powerful weapons. As you get later into the game, you start getting, you know, lasers and power plasma weapons, and they can do quite a bit of damage too. And so, like, you know, they pull one of my characters, the viper pulls one of my characters up to the second floor. I'm like, okay, I start shooting at the viper, and I hit the viper, but unfortunately it also destroys the floor underneath the viper, so the viper falls down to the first floor, and the fall kills the viper, but somehow, like, the check didn't happen that, oh, hey, you killed, you know, like, you damaged and killed the viper, so you should release the bind, and it just kind of left my character. Even though the viper was laying over there dead, the character that had been bound by the viper was still just over there bound.
Oh, and you slowly found a dying. Bug. Good for you.
Exactly. And so then I had to kind of look and go like, okay, how much HP has he got left? He's losing whatever, 3 HP a turn. Okay, I've got 4 turns left to finish this level before that character dies. It's, you know, it was an added little challenge to that level.
Nice.
But the game itself is just like, it is so much fun. I, you know, it is a very well balanced, you know, strategy with RPG elements. Mm-hmm. And there are just so many different ways you can play it. You know, you can always go in guns blazing, or you can kind of, you know, you can kind of like go slow and steady. You know, there's always different ways to attack whatever mission you get. You know, sometimes it is just like, oh, you know, like you could go and infiltrate this building, or I could just take my grenadier and blow a hole in the side and wipe them out that way. I don't know how I missed this game back when it came out, but I'm glad
I don't know like, either. It was a big deal.
I loved the first one. Mm. I loved the first reboot. I played the ton out of it.
Did you play the other one?
Yeah.
You just Something missed else two.
Must have came. Yeah. Yeah, I just missed two.
Now you got to go back and play the old ones.
Yeah. Get out the GOG, man.
I don't know how to. Like, I think I tried to play one and I didn't know what was going on at all. It's like, what?
Since we have the remakes, I mean, you don't, you know, thankfully now you have something that's very easy to play. And I mean, it's on everything. It's on Switch, for goodness sake.
Are they working on any new ones, or is that dead studio?
I mean, it's Fraxis, so it's, you know, they're busy with Civ, I guess.
Ah, the new Civ that didn't do well, apparently.
Well, isn't that the Civ cycle? It comes out, everybody hates it, and then they patch it and add expansions, and then eventually, after a year or two, people like it.
And then it's the greatest Civ of all time and the only one we'll play other than 4. We all love 4, but, you know, we'll play this one or 3 or whatever it is that the current fan favorite of history is. But this one's the newest and it's got the multiplayer, so we'll play this and everything else sucks. And now they got a new one out and it's garbage. You don't want to play that. Man, we should all go back to Civ 3. And then everyone moves on to Civ 8 and then it starts again.
What was the one that we were playing for a little while?
6? That was 6.
Okay.
I have not gotten 7, mostly because, much like Paradox, if you want all the expansions, you're better off waiting for it to all get bundled together eventually.
It's one of those, yeah, very much. You wait a year and buy the Game of the Year edition with all of it, hopefully on Steam sale for like $40.
Mm-hmm. If you wait super long, it'll all be $1. But
yeah,
then that's like 2 games behind at that point.
Oh, yeah, because I got my copy of Civ 6 for free on Epic, but it was just the base game with no expansions and would have cost like hundreds of dollars to get all the expansions at that point.
Yeah. That is very much the strategy game sort of business model. We're going to release tons of expansions and DLC, and to get them all, it's going to be, you know, $200. Mm-hmm. That's how we make the money.
I always get mildly confused about the Civ games. One, because there's so many of them. And two, like, I think Civ 4 is free on, if you have Amazon Prime right now.
Okay.
And I was like, wait a minute, is this the one that I have on Epic? You know what? I'm just going to claim it anyway. I'll figure it out later.
Claim all the games.
That's what I do.
Oh, yeah, Herfrog. I remember that, playing Civ 2 over email. The original multiplayer.
How did that work?
One turn at a time. You'd play a turn, and you'd email the file to the other person, and they would play their part of the turn, and they would go back and forth.
Oh.
There were a few strategy games, you know, turn-based strategy games that would do that back in the day.
Wow, so I guess you better hang on to backup copies in case somebody's save file gets overwritten or something.
Yeah.
That could be, I feel like that could be a component for cheating, but I don't know how that would work.
I'm sure there was a way to do it, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Could have been just as simple as editing the text, editing it in a text file or something if you knew what you were doing. I don't know.
Well, you weren't playing with randos online. You know, this True. Was not matchmaking.
True.
You had to know the person to be able to email them. So.
Is that like the modern equivalent of playing chess by mail?
Yeah.
That's funny.
So what have you been playing, Chris? What is Mega Bonk?
Mega Bonk is Vampire Survivors plus 3D camera movement and motion sickness inducing mouse drift lag. So if you want to do like, Hairfrog's playing it. It has a skeleton on a skateboard, and so far he's my favorite character because he goes so quickly and moves so fast. And it's like they're going for comedy Vampire Survivors. Not that Vampire Survivors isn't already a silly game, but they're going for let's just embrace the silly and do a Vampire Survivors where you have more character control and have to jump and stuff and go up and down hills and get weirdly named items. And then when it's dead, it memes at you about you need skill and stuff like that. So far it's been fine, progressing like a standard, what do you call it? Survivors like, but like, what can I say? Like, I'm having trouble progressing. Like, the characters are real squishy, and so I feel like I'm having trouble like grinding out the currency I need for the unlocks to really get me to go further deep into the stages and characters that I want to try out. And I'm not sure if without the unlocks, I feel like the stage. The gameplay, the repetitive gameplay loop is maybe starting to get boring already because it's a lot more effort to play this than like Vampire Survivors where you just move your position, because here you have to manage your camera and what you're looking at and dodge stuff that's like sneaking up behind you that you don't necessarily see at first. And the direction you're facing matters for some weapons. And yes, I know that that does matter in Vampire Survivors 2 to some degree. But here it's just a bit more effort for a little bit less gain. So I'm not sure if I'm gonna stick with this or play other, or in favor of playing other survivors likes, or just, I don't know. It's fun to play over or play for a while at least. It's just I don't know. It's getting me like lots of complicated feelings, like how do I put this? Of like, it's good, it's silly, I want to see where it goes and unlock all the things, but I'm also hitting a wall in a lot of ways, where it's just a lot of grinding, which is normal for the Vampire Survivors, but it's like, unlike Vampire Survivors, where I just want to do that grinding and just want to start another run, here it's somehow more frustrating or less fulfilling. And go ahead.
Playing a Survivors like where you feel like you're making no progress isn't fun.
Right. And I am making progress. It's just not enough progress, or I'm more impatient with other Survivors likes now that I've put a bunch of time into Vampire Survivors. I don't know. The Hairfrog in the chat says the game is really unbalanced in later tiers. Game needs polish. I'm only gotten to tier two, and already it's like I go from really doing very well to, the physics bumped me into that boss character, and I wasn't able to do anything to move away from him because I was in the air. Now I'm just dead. Time to start over. And it's like, oh, well, that was a run. The clock is lower than Vampire Survivor, so that helps. So everything isn't a 30-minute run by default. It seems like it's 10 or something like that. I'm sure you can change that. And there's lots of challenge modes I haven't done because I don't feel like I'm doing well enough with the base game yet. And I don't know, you know, these games are kind of structured like an idle game, IDLE, idle game, where, like, if you know how to progress efficiently, like, there's certain things that will make the lower level play of these games trivial, and I have no idea what I need to be striving for. So I might just watch a guide to get an idea of, like, here's the thing you should try and shoot for that you don't know about. But also that's like, well, then what's the fun of finding it? So it's been okay. I don't regret it. It's just not as good as I was initially hoping based on how silly stupid it looked. Because the silly stupid's there, it's just the gameplay is not quite up to it. And I was showing it to some friends on Discord yesterday, and it's like they were getting queasy looking at it. So I was like, well, that's an issue too.
I've got the Steam page up. It looks fun as hell.
Yeah, it's only $8, Hairfrogs points out. And it's like, that's cool until you remember what Vampire Survivors was, what, $1.99, $1?
I think $5.
Oh, was it $5? Well, yeah, okay, never mind.
DLCs are so, like $1.99.
Yeah. the Vampire Survivors chest animations are better, but this person does go for it at least. So they do try to do the fun chest animations. It's just, you know, they're not as good as the person who designed pachinko games or whatever. What a shock.
There's a monkey with sunglasses.
I haven't found him. I've been looking for him, but I can't find him.
Does the skeleton also have sunglasses?
The skeleton's awesome. He's got, he throws a bone. He rides a skateboard. You really can't complain about it. Like, the skeleton's pretty good.
Do you get the crazy screens clearing abilities like in Vampire Survivors?
Abilities, no, but maybe. Well, remember, it takes a while till you get to the point where you can do those in Vampire Survivors, right? And you have to know, have the bright weapons unlocked and have them combo with each other. I haven't found any systems like that in Megabonk so far. I've not found any real upgrades or transformations of weapons. So if it's in there, figuring that out would, like, really open this game up for me and would really help me enjoy it more. But so far, I have not found that at all. So I don't know.
The community hasn't found it either?
I haven't gone down the let's read guides hole yet. I've been trying to just play it myself and discover it naturally. So that's why I'm bringing it up, because maybe, like, all that stuff's just right there and I just need to unlock one item and then I'll be on the right track for it all. But so far, I haven't figured it out.
It has a demo.
It does. And, you know, for $8, you're going to probably get enough playtime out of it. It's just, you know, if you want me to say this is just as good as Vampire Survivors, I'm not quite. No, it's not yet. Maybe it will be eventually. They're putting lots of updates and stuff out, so we'll see. If it keeps getting cared for, then it can become quite something else from what it is right now. Just give it time. But yeah, I saw a bunch of, like, the action RPG people playing this that I follow on Switch, And so I'm like, I assume it was like sponsored. And they chose, and I don't know why they chose those particular players for it, but I was like, all right, I'll, you know, I'll be manipulated by the advertising. Let me give it a try. And, you know, for $8, it's fine. And it got me to play something other than Final Fantasy XI, which I did play some this week, but I'm really feeling the burnout there already. Well, not already, but at this point. So I might be close to done with 11 outside of actually doing stuff with like you or Scar directly or Hairfrog directly. So it's like, it's time for me to get back into other RPGs. So I think the first thing I'll be, well, we'll talk about it at the end of the show. Quartet's on my list. All right. Anyway, that's what I've been playing. I hope that was useful to somebody.
Yeah, no, I wishlisted Mega Bonk. I'll have to check that out later.
The music's good though, so that's something. But it's not quite Vampire Survivors good. So, you know, we're holding it to like a high standard maybe, but well.
I mean, I played most of Vampire Survivors, the original, on mute because I was playing it on my Steam Deck and didn't want to bother my partner.
Mm. That's very nice of you.
Well, I imagine that game would be very annoying to listen to without context.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, Vampire Survivors, I mean, it's like, it depends. Like, do you find the sounds of slot machines and stuff comforting or distracting?
Probably not.
Yeah. That's all I got, then.
I forgot to put in what the question of the week was last week.
It was, how do you handle cross-generational releases?
Thank you. From Strawberry Eggs, there hasn't been that many times when I've had to decide between two versions of a game on cross-generational system. Which version I choose depends on circumstances, because I obtained a Wii at launch. Getting The Legend of Zelda for the Wii rather than the GameCube seemed like a no-brainer. Most recently, though, it'll likely run a lot better on Switch 2. I'm getting Pokemon Legends ZA on Switch 1 because I don't intend to get the newer console yet, and I'm pretty tolerable of performance issues.
Of which I'm sure there will be many.
Well, funnily enough, I felt like Pokemon Legends Arceus didn't run all that bad compared to like Scarlet and Violet.
Mm. Okay, then.
Much more optimized.
All right.
From Sniper OX, if there's a game releasing on a platform I already own, I don't see any benefit of acquiring the newest console only for that game. However, there is an exception tied to whether or not I can earn trophies. For example, Super Robot Wars Y released on Nintendo Switch that I already own. However, I'm not interested in this version and prefer to wait until I acquire a PlayStation 5 so that I can earn trophies. Fair enough. And then from Lizard Yamato, hey y'all, another week down, another turn of the mortal coil. I wanted to write to mention a game that recently left early access. Tokyo Extreme Racer is both a racing game and an RPG, which I've decided to refer to as a CARPG.
CARPG! That's where you play as a fish, right?
That actually sounds kind of fun. It has insane levels of customization, allowing you to fine-tune every aspect of your vehicle. Every car I've played with feels distinct and has different strengths and weaknesses that you'll have to consider when choosing which car you'll take out for the night. When you're out, you can build up a combo by defeating racers, which results in high rewards. But be careful, if you lose, your combo will be broken and you'll have to start back from zero. You have the ability to challenge any car on the highway, which both serves as a comedic purpose, because nothing says fair like a Honda NSX challenging a box truck. These random races serve the purpose of building up your combo so that you can cash it in when you defeat a rival from another car crew. There's lots more to this game, but I wholeheartedly recommend it for anybody that who loves JDM cars and RPGs. See you next week.
Thank you.
What is a JDM car?
JD.
Japanese, kind of like, you know.
Oh, okay. Japanese driving game. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So initial D.
Yeah.
Running in the 90s. Sorry.
It's a dual rail train drift.
So inspired by Josh's conundrum with XCOM, I'm curious to know how far people have gotten into a game without unlocking a major feature in the game that could have made your life easier.
Ooh. If you missed a major feature that would have made your life easier, I like it.
Like, I've said this before, that I played Shining Tears and got to a boss fight that I was just beating my head against before I realized that you had to put points into your skills because there was no tutorial for it.
Yeah, and this instance, it was completely my fault. I've played XCOM tons of times and just, like, totally, you know, borked on, like, oh, yeah, dum-dum. Build the thing in your base so that you can expand your party. Like, why is this so hard? Oh, because I've only got 4 party members. That's why.
It's like playing Dark Souls and missing the tutorial on parries or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard of people that had no idea that WoW had talent points until, like, level 50 of 60.
Well, you know, they keep making them mean less and less, so
I think this was back in the day, at least during Wrath, when they actually did mean something. Mm. To a lesser extent, I had somebody DM me when I was like level 40 during TBC, who said, like, why do you still have a white weapon? And I'm like, what do you mean white
weapon? A white weapon. And you said it's a nice day for a white weapon.
Because I didn't realize that the weapons had quality issues.
Had you not gotten any other weapon drops?
I don't remember, to be honest. Okay. I just remember it being me thinking, like, oh, this looks like it does more damage than this, so I will do this, not understanding the, you know, special stats on things and all of that.
All right.
But that's another example. Basically, just missing a major gameplay feature that could have completely changed your gameplay. Or if you've even beaten a game not, like, implementing a feature. I'm curious if anybody has done that. So leave your answers on the show thread on rpgamer.com, or you can go into our podcast channel on Discord, like Lizard Yamato. I would probably at one of us just to make sure that we see it, because I don't always get a chance to check all of the various channels.
And there's a lot of stuff for Q&A quest in there.
Yeah.
So Kelly, are we ready to pull into the hype Shinkansen station?
Not really. There hasn't been a lot of stuff from TGS that's really had me excited.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
No,
then I guess we'll just do the news.
Yeah. The Kingdom of Night demo has been released. This is a 1980s themed isometric action RPG expected to release on PC later this year. I didn't realize it was 80s themed.
Yeah, it looks very 80s to me. It looks like an 80s, you know, thriller horror.
Okay.
No?
No, I see it now.
This has a 90s aesthetic. This is like, art style, like Out of This World.
Gotcha.
Oh, that zombie just ripped that person's Steam, head right? off. Okay. This is an RPG? Oh, I see. Okay. Here, turned into an action RPG. Oh, and you got loot. So, okay, this is a Diablo-like with pixel artwork like Out of This World or Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery. Okay. Well, Oh, there's a giant hair frog. We got to find a game for you. It has a frog in it.
Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
See, I was confused because the key artwork looks 50s, like a 50s comic book style.
Yes.
But I guess I didn't get a chance to watch many of the trailers this morning, unfortunately. But I will have to check this out. This looks kind of cool.
I mean, it could be 80s style graphics with a 50s setting.
True.
Oh, wait, no, they got headphones. That's not 50s. The person's wearing wireless headphones.
Says that it's supposed to be available Q4 2025. Add this to my wish list. Starfinder Afterlight reveals a Kickstarter date and more companions. So the Kickstarter is going to begin on October 7th. How much are they asking?
Don't know yet.
Doesn't say. This. What is this RPG about? Looks space-themed.
I'm assuming it's Pathfinder, but space-themed, right?
Right. That makes sense. Yeah, based off of Paizo's Starfinder tabletop RPG, and it's being developed for PC with turn-based combat, based off the rules of Starfinder 2nd Edition.
Who's making it? Is this Owlcat?
Epic Tellers Entertainment.
Weird. It's not Owlcat.
Owlcat usually does the Pathfinder stuff?
Yeah. The most recent one they did was Warhammer, though, so... And I don't think Pathfinder's going to turn down more than one company wanting to work on games for them anyway, so why not have both?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Splintered Fate is getting new, free, and paid content next week. There's going to be DLC featuring Metalhead, the robot turtle, who I'm pretty sure was in the original cartoon. Can't see in the... Okay, the free update is going to add new story content where players must enter a new realm to stop a rift accidentally created by Metalhead from consuming New York City. There's going to be an arcade mode that's fast-paced and unpredictable. What else? The game's also getting a physical release with a deluxe edition coming out on September 30th. This is the TMNT Hades-like.
Is it really Hades-like?
Yeah.
I really should play this. I have it.
I need to, too. The trailer was kind of cute because Metalhead says, come with me if you want to live.
But and like, wait a second. The problem with this, though, Kelly, is that Hades 2 is out now.
Yeah.
So like, why play a Hades-like when you could play an actual Hades?
Maybe you're a big Turtles fan?
All right, fair enough. Good call. And this is co-op, so that helps too.
I don't know, maybe the Greek mythology aesthetic of Hades isn't your thing.
Fair enough.
There could be many reasons. I personally wish I had time to play both.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love Hades and I love TMNT. Anyway. So Yakuza is getting a Kiwami 3.
Oh,
it is.
Good. Because that Nate, 3 needs fixing, so this is good.
3 is now the easily the most clunky of the releases.
It's
yeah.
So broke. It's so... Don't... Just wait for it. Play the play the remake now that that's a thing. Like, no questions. No doubt.
It's also getting... The Kiwami 3 is... So Kiwami 3 is a remake of Yakuza 3, which came out on the PS3. A long time ago, it feels like.
Yes.
It's also going to have a side story called Dark Ties that follows the Yakuza 3 character Yoshitaka Mine.
He was one of the antagonists in that game. Yeah. I mean, gotcha. He's been around in the earlier games. He was in at least 2.
I feel kind of bad. I've fallen behind on my backtrack homework because I have not played Kiwami 2 yet.
Oh no! I love Kiwami 2.
Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to get to it this year. I've just had... To be honest, I'm kind of Yakuza'd out.
How is that possible?
Well, one, Chris, you're Yakuza'd out too.
Yeah, that's true.
You've been for a while.
I know.
But also, like, Pirate Yakuza this year was so good, I just don't want to go back, take a step back. You know?
These are games that are probably not best played like back to back. You play a 60-hour Yakuza game, like you probably need like a year or so.
I just can't believe how weird this sounds in English.
I've played them so long in Japanese, it just sounds wrong in English to me. I am so used to all the Japanese voice actors who've now been doing this for 20 plus years.
I'm just amused that the game has become the series has become popular enough to get an English localization.
Day and date.
Yeah. This is coming out to release worldwide on February 12th for PC, PS4, PS5, both Xboxes and both Switches. So there you go.
Play it on anything.
Yeah.
That you won't be pleased, Chris. There's more with the orphans in this one.
But it's a Kiwami version of it though. Like that, I'm totally up for seeing what's up with the orphans in the Kiwami version, because like it can't be worse. It can't be. It just can't be.
I forgot the so which engine do the Kiwami ones bring the game up to?
Oh god!
Is the first Kiwami one in years, so who knows what engine it's going to be?
I don't know if they said, and I haven't dug into the weeds to know. Kelly, I'm sorry.
I assume it'll be the latest one they're working in at the time is.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. So the RPG musical People of Note has been announced, and this looks like my kind of game because I've always wanted to play a turn-based RPG where you're in a band and you're using your musical instruments to attack. It follows a pop singer named Cadence after she is shut out of the Noteworthy Song Contest. And in an attempt to improve on her solo act, she's going to venture to other locations to get other band members. Meanwhile, a force called the Harmonic Convergence is causing problems in the world's musical energies. And this game kind of looks cool. Features full-length cinematic musical sequences across a variety of genres. The trailer actually kind of reminded me a little bit of K-Pop Demon Hunters, which I watched this week.
I haven't watched that. Do I need to watch that?
It's actually really good, and I'm not even into K-pop.
Oh, man.
It has some serious moments, but it's also kind of cute, particularly when the demon boy band shows up and gives all the girls feelings.
Oh, goodness. The demon boy band.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this game also looks cool too. Moving on, Monster Hunter Wilds is getting an update. Crossing over with Final Fantasy 14.
You get Chocobo. Alpha's there because of course he is.
So the collaboration is seeing visitors from Eorza there to take on Omega Planetus. Is that a monster?
It's Omega. It's Omega from Final Fantasy 14.
Oh, okay.
Expect it to be hard.
You can utilize two Final Fantasy 14 jobs, Dark Knight and Pictomancer.
What? Okay. That's a little weird. I might need to try this. I've been off of Monster Hunter for a while, but this is a good reason to come back.
And I guess that you're going to get a chocobo skin of
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Bird.
Yeah.
That's cool. They also announced a new Monster Hunter mobile game. Monster Hunter Outlanders. I guess you join up with up to four players to hunt monsters on the mysterious island of Asaland. And it's Monster Hunter, but mobile. You accept quests. You use
the... Is it a gacha, though?
I don't know.
Can you just imagine that you got a gacha for good weapons or something? Oh,
what a nightmare.
Let's see if we get any idea of how they're monetizing this.
Yeah, there's going to be a closed beta test in November, and the game's going to come out on iOS and Android, and you can register for that beta test now on the official website.
So when last time I played Monster Hunter on mobile, it was like Monster Hunter 2, and it was like on my first iPad or something. It's a long time ago. And I needed to use an external controller for this because, like, you didn't want to use the on-screen controls. So I don't know how this is going to work out, but what'd you say it's coming out?
It doesn't have a release date, just a date for the closed beta.
Oh.
Mid-November.
That's okay. The movie that we have doesn't have any real gameplay either, so.
Yeah.
We'll see.
The only Monster Hunter mobile game I've played is the puzzle game with the Palicos.
The mobile spinoff. Yeah, I have no details on the monetization, so that usually means it's bad. So we'll find out.
If they aren't telling you, assume the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So Lost Epoch is getting a PS5
Last
release.
Epoch. Last Epoch.
Oh, the story says Lost Epoch.
Oh, does it? Oops.
typo. Last Epoch, I thought something was off about that, is getting a PlayStation 5 release. Do we have a date? Doesn't say. Yeah, it literally says does not say, but the game is also getting an expansion. You played this, didn't you, Chris?
Oh, yeah, I've played Last Epoch. I played not the current season, but the one before. It's good, and they keep adding more to it. And so this is probably going to have the most recent expansion in it, which adds more story. So that's good. And what else? It's just, you know, it's in that echelon of Diablo 4, Path of Exile, Path of Exile 2, Last Epoch. Those are all the big competing games in that action RPG, clicky, clicky, click fest genre. So, that'll be good that it's on console. Did they say if it's crossplay with PC?
I don't see anything in the news story.
Hopefully it is. You don't want it to be separate, but we'll see. Looks nice.
Yeah, I am curious about it because I do love looty clicky games.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't have it on PC, it's worth picking up, Kelly.
I think it was
works on Steam Deck.
Yeah, I think I was waiting for it to go on sale.
Oh, okay. That's fair. Yeah, unlike Path of Exile, you have to pay for this one, so it's more like Diablo 4 in that regard.
It's like $30.
Yeah, $35, I think. Yeah.
Which isn't bad. I haven't seen it have any sort of sale impulse buy pricing anytime soon. So Who knows? I might wait until the PlayStation one comes out. Anyway, I thought about you when that story came up, Chris.
Thank you.
So, by the way, I think these are all the stories from the PlayStation State of Play.
Yeah.
Zero Parades for Dead Spies has had a PS5 version revealed. And does this give anyone else Disco Elysium vibes?
I think it gives everyone.
Yeah, it's from the Disco Elysium studio, although most of the key people from that studio left.
Huh.
Okay. That's what I thought.
But this is the actual studio. And it certainly has that art style of Disco Elysium and, you know, the very intricate text-based choices.
I like that now we're getting Disco Elysium likes as a genre, essentially, because we've got the studio making more, and we've got the person who... That person it's just like had their
hand up. Two different groups of people who left who have set up new
ones,
I think.
They're going to work on new games. So it's like, you're going to get a lot of games. If you liked that one, you're going to get a lot more games that are basically books.
Wasn't there a lot of drama about what happened with Disco Elysium?
Yeah.
Which is why a bunch of the people left?
No, there was drama. I don't remember it all, so I won't try to recount it here. But there was drama, and now there's the studio and the people who used to work at the studio, and they're all making more games like that game.
Okay. But this one is about a spy haunted by a failed mission. You're going to be passing skill checks to get out of dangerous situations and have choices that affect characters' loyalty and basically Disco Elysium, but with spies.
I'm sure there will be lots of humorous ways to die, like there was in the original.
You know what else there's lots of, Kelly? Hmm. Fire Emblem games. You know what else there's lots of, Kelly?
What?
Mobile gacha games trying to profit on fandoms for game series.
Yeah, so this stealth dropped. I had no idea they were that Intelligent Systems was working on a new Fire Emblem game for mobile.
Isn't Heroes still a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we have another mobile Fire Emblem game trying to take all your monies, right? But this one's like Among Us? I'm confused how this works.
Yeah, that was the bit that confused me. Like, wait, so you're trying to find who is the traitor?
Yeah. So it's the battles are in two parts. You have a first part where all three of you are fighting.
Wait a second.
You know, on the same
they
side.
Went from these wonderful looking graphics to this terrible looking low poly chibi models for the game battles. What is going on? I was lied to. All right. So then you do a battle, and then what?
So all three of you are on the same side in the first half of the battle against just enemies.
Yeah.
And then you have to decide who is the traitor, and then it's traitors versus the good guys.
Okay.
And depending on whether you pick correctly, if the traitor, is able to slide through, he gets a bonus, and if the other people pick correctly, they get a bonus for that second part of the battle.
Okay. Is it multiplayer, or is this all...
Yes.
Oh.
So it's all multiplayer.
Okay. Free to start, optional in-game purchases, so it's a gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I don't plan on playing this.
This sounds like players can advance the Light and Shadow stories to unlock new playable characters known as Disciples. Yeah, okay. And you can sell items in-game. You can buy and sell items in-game with other players using in-game gold. So I don't know how this is going to work out monetarily, but it's complicated enough that I can't trust it's got your best interests at heart.
Hey, new Fire Emblem, right? Right?
No, it's not.
Yeah, I'm not that enthused either.
Call me when the one for Switch 2 comes out next year.
Mm-hmm.
And hope it's not as dull as Engage. Dustpunk has been announced from solo developer Clockwork Bird. This takes inspiration from Citizen Sleeper and is expected to release next year with a demo available right now on Steam. And it takes place in a steampunk city.
Mm-hmm. So steampunk version of Citizen Sleeper, basically.
Lots of dialogue choices, it looks like.
Lots of dice rolls.
Yeah. Skill up some things, make some dice rolls, and then get frustrated when the story doesn't go the way you want. Great. All right.
And just when I think I'm out, they pull me back in. Fantasy Life I is getting a DLC launching in December.
Free DLC. That's my favorite kind.
It's going to add a new story focusing on Bizarrio, a new character with an unsettling grin and hidden secrets. Ginormosa, the open world area, meanwhile, is going to have an ominous darkness. The DLC features new monsters, new equipment, and a new artifact. I don't even remember what the artifacts were. I will have to keep an eye out for it, see how it goes over, especially if it's free DLC. So that game was surprisingly fun.
Well, the first one was super addictive, so I'm not surprised that the sequel is good. Well, maybe I should be nowadays. I didn't play this, though. Should I? You're going to say yes, so... Oh, man. Maybe I'll wait for a bundle with the... Or sale around the time a DLC comes out or something.
Yeah, who knows? It might have a price drop. at some point. Chronoscript: The Endless End has been announced. This is a Metroidvania that takes place in books.
Okay.
I do not know how to describe the art in this. Like, the closest thing I could even come up to is, like, almost like a Terry Gilliam style animation, but
yeah,
very unique. You are very much just a character fighting your way through books.
Mm-hmm. And not just like book pages, like the pages are spread out across a desk.
Yeah.
And like you see the desk. And I don't know if you'll have like kind of fourth wall breaks like that. The trailer made it look interesting as hell.
Yeah.
I just hope that it's not going to be a Souls-like Metroidvania, because I'm mad at those.
Don't have time for that kind of punishment?
No, unfortunately.
This is a very pretty game.
Yeah.
You want to check out the trailer. And like the illustrations are kind of like the medieval style illustrations, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Or is there's probably a better description for this art style.
But I think Josh said it best. Terry Gilliam animation.
Terry Gilliam. All right.
Monty Python.
It has that look of it is 2D, and it has that look of almost like they're taking elements and just kind of like manipulating them.
Mm-hmm. I would say the drawing style is not like what we see in the Monty Python, though.
No.
I understand what you mean, though, but there's like a fourth wall element to the animation itself. Like a real life rat will run across the page while you're fighting on the page.
Yeah.
Oh, and a drinky bird. There we go. 2026. So we got a while. Go finish your other games.
I had a drinky bird. I couldn't get it to work.
No.
So Dragon Quest 1 and 2 HD2D remake is going underwater. Showing off a new continent that the remake adds to Dragon Quest 2, where you're going around in a boat on a bubble.
And all your characters are in bubbles, talking to mermaids.
I don't remember if that was a part of the old game or not.
Well, it said it was new. I thought the mermaids were new. 11.
I don't remember any mermaids in Dragon Quest 2.
Okay, it's been a hot minute since I've played that. So this is going to release on October 30th for PC, PS5, Xbox, and both Nintendo Switches. And once this comes out, the Erdrick trilogy will be complete.
Mm-hmm. Then we can try to figure out if they're going to make 4, 5, and 6 remakes or not. Again,
that would make me and Platy happy, but I'm not going to hold my breath, especially since we're going back to the PlayStation. Well, apparently
7 again.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. But this time 7's going to be actually, I thought people liked the last one. So I don't know why they're doing 7 again. Confused by that whole thing.
I don't know either. Maybe the dev just wanted to shave more time off of 7, since it's quite expansive.
Mm, fair enough.
But has anybody played the original Deus Ex?
I have not. I've kind of wanted to. It's always sounded a bit clunky to go back to. So I've, you know, it's one of those I've been curious about, but have never jumped in to do.
Well, we got a remaster.
Yeah.
It's slightly upgraded. I don't know how to say this. Like, it is upgraded. It ain't really current gen, though.
No. It's one of those where the before and after, I'm like,
is this a mod?
Is that different? Yeah, exactly. Like, I've seen mods that are more impressive.
Uh-huh.
Is it going to update the gas prices to be even more shocking since it's caught up with since we've caught up since then?
Oh no.
I will never forget seeing that screenshot of the gas price at like $4.29 and being like, holy crap, I hope it never gets that bad. Narrator voice, it got that bad.
So this is PlayStation, PC, Xbox, and Switch on February 5th for $30. $30. Aspyr is doing this though. Okay.
Well, Aspyr usually does, you know, decent work, so...
Interesting, it's not coming to Mac, since it's Aspyr, yeah. But okay. And
since it was originally on Mac?
Yeah. That's really again, interesting.
Was like three processors ago, so, you know.
But even then, like, they can. The game porting situation on Mac is pretty okay right now.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Well, whatever.
Was anybody looking forward to playing Borderlands 4 on their Switch 2?
Not me. I'm sure people are.
I'm sure that, yeah, like, there must be people who want to do that.
Well, they're going to have to wait.
Oh.
It was planned to come out on October 3rd, but has been pushed back to an unspecified date due to the need for additional development time.
The heck?
They're also stating that they hope to align its release with the coming edition of CrossSave.
Well, this is interesting. If you had a pre-order, Nintendo's policy when the release date is pushed back like this is they cancel the pre-orders. That seems That's like a actually thing. A consumer-friendly thing from Nintendo. Are we sure this is Nintendo? I'm confused. I think Reggie's not there. Doug, are you? No, he's leaving. New lady in charge of Nintendo. Are you okay? Blink twice. You're okay.
So you'll have to wait longer to play Borderlands 4 at the medieval times? Aw.
Maybe the Switch version will be on a USB key.
Along with questionable videos.
I don't know what you're talking about. La, 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 la. Hey, Kelly, if you want to catch up on the Kiwami games, the first three of them, you can.
Coming to new platforms.
Yep.
So Kiwami and Kiwami 2, previously announced for the Nintendo Switch 2, will also be coming to PS5 and Xbox.
And then the PC version are getting updated with all the new localizations for, like, Italian and French and German and such.
And then we're also getting Yakuza 0 Director's Cut on PC, PS5, and Xbox, which was a Switch 2 exclusive. So Kiwami and Kiwami 2 are just ports, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, because I think I have like the PlayStation 4 version of
Kiwami 2. Yeah, then you're fine. You don't need another one. I'm pretty sure it's a free upgrade to the PS5 version for those, but maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. I would not go buying the Switch 2 version if you already have it on PS5 or something. That's not going to be an upgrade, unless you just wanted to play it portably again.
I think I picked up all of those I think Kiwami was a free PSN release. And then I think I picked up like the complete rest of the series for like $20 on a PSN sale. I don't know. I know that if you're patient, particularly on PlayStation and Steam, you can get the Yakuza series for shockingly cheap.
Mm.
I think pretty much all those work well on Steam Deck.
Yeah.
Oh, is this the first time we're getting actual PS5 versions, Yuna? Okay. Yeah. So then I guess they are going to charge you then, so forget that. But it will be better frame rate, it sounds like. Kiwami 2, for example, be 60 FPS on PS5 instead of 30. So, I don't know. I'm not going to replay Kiwami's just because of these re-releases. But, yeah. I don't know.
I just wonder, giving Sega, it's being Sega lately, if they're going to delist the older versions, like on PlayStation or Steam.
Ooh, I mean, hopefully not.
No, I mean not like on Steam. They said they're going to be updated on Steam, right?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
PlayStation, I don't know.
Just wondering out loud, since Sega's been doing that a lot lately. Crimson Desert is launching in March.
What's Crimson Desert, Kelly?
A fantasy action RPG.
That doesn't tell me anything.
Looks very generic.
No, it looks like someone's trying to make a game with the dramatic weight of Final Fantasy 16, but not the art team. Are these Vikings? I don't know what this setting is. Is it Scotland? Is he riding a wolf? It's fantasy. It's probably set nowhere, huh? Okay. This dude's fighting with a cane, and the other guy's got a sword and shield, and they're evenly matched. Okay, yeah, fantasy. All right.
There's collector's editions coming out. Do you want to know what's in the premium collector's
edition? Oh, Kelly, I do.
The game, a 17-inch diorama, a steelbook case, a fabric map, a letter from the developer, a brooch pen, 3 character photo cards, 3 patches, an in-game DLC, including horse armor.
Oh, but he wasn't riding a horse. Do they give you horse armor and then you never get to use it because you're always on like a dragon or a wolf or something?
Just says Hyperion horse tax set. That's okay. Horse armor.
Is this from any... Who's this from?
Does the story say Pearl Abyss?
Pearl Abyss. Okay. What do they make?
I've never heard
Black
of them.
Desert, right? Yeah, this is the Black Desert Online people. So, is this an MMO? Or a single-player game?
Just says fantasy action RPG that's open world.
So, we don't know. It might be MMO. But if it's not, here's something wild. Unlike Deus Ex, this is coming to the Mac. Alright. Cyril says no, it's single player. So, PS5, Xbox, Steam, and the Mac in the Mac App Store, of all things. Like, okay.
Sure.
How is this generic game that we don't know the quality level of yet, but I'm not exactly hyped for based on what I've seen yet, but I might be wrong about. How is this getting a Mac port, and the games that have better budgets and better things and look better don't? Why is there no Mac Diablo 4 yet? Why is there no Mac? Why does this get the Mac?
I mean, you guys have Macs. Do you game on them?
Well, not my newest one, because it's a work laptop and it's locked down, so no. Which sucks, because it's powerful. It could do it.
I occasionally game on the Mini. It works okay.
Meanwhile, Code Vein 2 is releasing in January. When I watched this trailer, I saw the Bandai Namco. I was like, oh boy, new trails. Oh, Code Vein.
Oh, but people liked Code Vein.
I don't even know what it is. I thought
it's a Dark Souls anime.
Yeah. Okay. Anime Souls.
Yeah. Anime Souls. But like, look, you can get a collector's edition and get this lady who I guess doesn't have a bra. I'm very confused. This looks illegal. This figure looks illegal. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, no 360 view of that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We'd be banned from Twitch if we did that.
So maybe we have she's wearing a strapless.
Yeah, so this is Bamco's anime Dark Souls, and expect more anime and more, you know, Dark Souls-y. I remember some people liking it. I tried it at a trade show and it didn't impress me, but obviously that was not a, you know, final version of the game and not a real good time to try it out. So I honestly don't know anything about how good Code Vein 1 is or isn't. This, however, looks very anime. That's what you want.
Neo 3 is getting a February release date.
Ah, this isn't Dark Souls anime Dark Souls, right?
No, this is Ninja Dark Souls.
Ninja Dark Souls. Okay, so it's anime Ninja Gaiden, right?
No, I don't even think it's anime styled. I think it's just a game.
Neo?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, it's coming out on February 6th, and yeah, we've got a new trailer. I don't know what else to talk about there. It's Neo.
There's demons and supernatural stuff going on, and the hero gets transformed into a yokai, whatever that means. So, because yokais are not very specific. Cross through time, rewrite fate. Okay, so you got time travel anime. Or is it time travel... traditional Chinese fantasy epic? I don't know what's going on here. So somebody who does know can tell me, and you can play your action game and defy destiny, as the trailer says. Kelly, I'm gonna assign you to play all the Neo games now.
I've had people tell me that there's cats in them.
Well, there you go.
I guess it's gonna depend on whether or not, I mean, I think I have them via PSN. I guess it'll just depend on whether or not they have an easy mode. Meanwhile, Romancing Saga 2, The Revenge of the Seven, is coming to Xbox. It was originally released for PS4, PS5, and Switch 2, so, and PC.
The exclusiveness for PlayStation has run out?
I guess, because it came out on Switch as well.
Yeah, but the Switch doesn't count.
Yeah.
That's not a real console.
Sony pays money for it to not be on Xbox.
Unless you're Hades 2, then Nintendo pays money for it to not be on any other console, apparently.
Also, speaking of not Xboxes, did you hear that Costco is removing all Xbox stuff?
No. Why is that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Any reason?
I know in some countries, like New Zealand and Australia, like they were clearing them out at like half off.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was a U.S. thing or not.
I haven't seen any photos of people doing it. Yeah, of like them half off in the U.S.
I wouldn't know. I've never been to Costco.
Costco says the plans to remove Xbox consoles was a business decision without providing specifics. Like, okay, great. That's not helpful. apparently, that's interesting. All right.
Huh.
The Xbox consoles have been going up in price, so that might be part of why.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Sony hasn't been putting up their consoles as much. No, PlayStation has, so I don't know.
PlayStation's gone up too, yeah.
So I don't know. But for whatever reason, Costco said, yeah, this doesn't make sense now.
The days of getting consoles for cheaper are pretty much over right now.
Yeah, it's the sort of time where if you want to switch too, you maybe just go ahead and get it, because it probably ain't getting cheaper. It might get more expensive.
Yeah, the Switch 2 is kind of in an advantageous spot because Nintendo's willing to lose money on it right now more so than they will be at any other time, so the tariffs are being eaten by them for the most part. All right, anyway, what's Relayer?
Meanwhile, the other ones are passing the buck off to you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, which Nintendo will do eventually, and probably that eventually is probably going to be pretty soon. So what's up with Relayer that's coming out
on the Switch? Definitive Edition is coming out on Switch too. We have Super Robot Wars at home.
Oh. Oh, is this the robot game that Tam's not going to play just because he has too many?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Think so.
And the Definitive Edition is going to be available digitally for $34.99 with the 15% launch discount with all DLC released. So.
This is a tactical robot mech game. Wow.
I just don't think that this one has, like, the licenses.
No, I'm wrong. Yeah, no. That was a different game. Tam streamed this in full last year, so never mind. He already played it. Relayer. Get it on Switch 2 if you want more features to get all the DLC. So, all right.
And then Netmarble announced that the free-to-play open-world action RPG Seven Deadly Sins Origin will release in January 2028, based off the manga and anime series.
I keep seeing YouTube videos for Seven Deadly Sins, but I've not watched the show at all. I have no idea on here.
I had heard mixed things about the show.
All right.
But it's releasing in January. It's going to have a closed beta in October.
Is this an MMO or just, is this a Genshin Impact? What is this?
It might be a Genshin
Impact. Did it say free to play? Didn't it say free to play?
Yeah, free to play open world action.
So this is a Genshin Impact like, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out more when the beta test starts in October.
And then the first two Monster Hunter stories are coming to the Xbox One in November.
To Xbox One. I guess they don't need much power, do they?
It's wild.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Could this be like the last Xbox One release?
I mean, I think they're only coming out digitally, so.
And they're not even coming out on Game Pass, which is what I would expect, but all right.
Yeah.
They want, what do they want? 30 for the first one and 40 for the second one. But if you pre-order, they're like $10 off each. Or a collection, 36 if you pre-order the collection. Okay. And I don't know if Monster Hunter Stories 1 is worth going back to play now. You think so, Kelly?
I enjoyed it, but I'm also biased, so...
Why are you biased?
Because
there is
Monster Hunter Stories, the first one, was my favorite game that year.
Oh, okay. All right. Coming to... Yeah, so well, it's already on Switch, PS4, and Steam, so this just joins the fray. And gets you excited for the third game next March.
I was very elated when it got the re-release, so it's no longer stuck on 3DS. So that more people can experience it and enjoy it. And because I know that the base Monster Hunter games are kind of hard for people to get into, so having a turn-based version of Monster Hunter, yeah, I think...
A turn-based with benefit. A bad battle system.
The battle system isn't that bad.
Okay.
I will die on this hill.
Yeah, all right.
And that is all the news. We get new releases?
We do. We have one very important one for sure. And let's see what else. What's through the fourth? I'll do that one last. Next week, we've got Digimon Story Time Stranger coming out. So if you want a new Digimon story, hey. Let's see. That is not an RPG. Nicktoons and the Dice of Destiny, which is an action role-playing game, which I don't think I've seen anything about this game recently.
Is that the one that had all the different Nickelodeon properties kind of mashed together?
Yeah, the more modern ones.
Yeah.
It's four-player co-op.
I think the oldest one there is Rugrats.
Local co-op, though. Okay. So we got SpongeBob, Sandy, SpongeBob characters, TMNT characters, Avatar, The Last Airbender, Timmy from Fairy Odd Parents, and more to be revealed, which might have already happened. This is an old story I found on it. That's a thing. And then also, finally, most importantly, probably for our viewership, Final Fantasy Tactics, The Ivalice Chronicles releases. For PC, Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox.
Hey, yay. We have a review of that.
Ooh.
I'm going to go out of order.
Okay. Let's do that first.
Jordan McLean reviewed Final Fantasy Tactics The Ivalice Chronicles. They reviewed the PS4 version, gave it a 4 out of 5, saying superb voice acting, masterful writing and thematic conveyance, riveting tactical battles, brilliant character writing, and a fantastic soundtrack. The negatives, scattered rebalancing issues, some brutal difficulty spikes, and new UI and graphical presentation doesn't always mesh well.
I'm trying to figure out if I'm okay with the score.
Sub question of the week. I don't know, because I don't know if many people will answer this. I need other people to tell me whether or not their parents wouldn't let them rent this game back in the day because they thought it was a strategy guide. Because this happened to me, and I can't remember if it happened. No, I don't think it happened to Vaughn, because he didn't try to rent this. But yeah, I grabbed this at the video store, and Mom's like, "I'm not getting that for you." I'm like, "What?" She's like, "I'm not renting a strategy guide for you." Mom, it's a game. And I showed her the back of the box, and she relented.
That's so funny. You can't have Final Fantasy Tactics because it's a tactics guide for the other Final Fantasy games, right? It's a strategy guide.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that one before.
There has to have been somebody else.
Someone else has had to have misinformation pop in their head. Like, is this just a strategy guide? You don't need to. You've beaten all the Final Fantasies. You have all the tactics already. We have tactics at home. They're in your head.
So just putting that out there.
I was old enough at this point to rent my own games, so did not happen to me. But that's funny. Man. I'm sad, though. It should be a 5 out of 5. If this... Get the original was a 5 out of 5, wasn't it? It shouldn't crumble.
I know. Well, Josh, didn't you try to play it and said that you didn't like it, or am I thinking of someone else?
I tried to play the PSP version, and the slow nature of the battle system kind of like bugged me in that version. So I've been waiting for this. I'm excited.
That okay. was an issue with the PSP version, so.
I mean, I don't know. I've heard people that are like Ogre Battle fans that say that this just didn't jive with them. So, or not Ogre Battle. I'm sorry, Tactics Ogre.
Tactics Ogre. So, yeah.
If it's not everybody's cup of tea, and yeah, the battles can get kind of slow, and the difficulty spikes are very real.
Yep.
Yeah.
I had to replay a bunch of battles in that game and do a bunch of grinding, and I loved every minute of it, and I'm wondering this time around if I'm just not even going to be able to finish, because I'm an old man now.
Pro tip to people playing this for the first time, if you are doing story battles, make a backup save.
Yes. Though I think, surely they've thought that through this time.
You would think.
Let's hope so.
We shall see.
And there's an easy mode.
Oh, there is?
Yep.
Oh, cool. I might play through it again just on easy mode just to experience it again.
Oh, shoot. Teleport now costs 3,000 JP instead of 600. Oh, man.
Do you think they fixed leveling up by throwing rocks at each other all day?
Hope not, but they might.
Anyway, we've got a review for the game Consume Me from Sam Walker.
Oh.
What is this game about?
It looks like a Sam game, though.
Yeah, it looks kind of a life simulator.
Yeah.
So, it's about a girl who's self-conscious about her weight and goes on a diet and has to deal with this. And, like, let's see. Jenny begins her quest to slim down, learning how to manage her weight as well as work through her other obligations such as chores and summer reading. As the game progresses, more difficult challenges begin to weigh down on her, such as a long-distance relationship with her boyfriend, her high school rival, and prepping for college. So, very narrative-driven thing, right? So, we'll see. Is this an RPG? I guess so. Yeah. Cool. And you got to figure out what you're going to spend your time on, like which chores or work things or exercise things, and figure all that stuff out. So, time management. Sam said stellar narrative and story progression. Exercise minigame is fab. Interesting and colorful art direction. But some minigames work better than others and are too repetitive. And food Tetris is not fun. But gave it a 4 out of 5.
Next time I eat, I'm like, guys, I'm playing food Tetris.
I can fit this. Trust me.
I can stuff one more meatball down me.
I was wrong.
As I puke. Atelier
Wrestleriana.
Wrestling Rihanna.
Atelier Wrestling Rihanna coming out to pay-per-view this weekend.
Yeah, I like Wrestling Rihanna. That's our new underwater Ray Romano.
Mm.
The Red Alchemist and the White Guardian. This review was from Matt Mason, who said that this was good and was like, well, I'm happy that you like it because I was skeptical about this one. And the reason why I was skeptical is because it takes place in the same universe as the mobile game.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, no, it's a regular Atelier game. It's amazing. He gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Reviewed the Nintendo Switch version, says that it has an excellent turn-based battle system with timing elements and adjustable turn order. Beautiful visuals, particularly in the town's transformation and in Atelier interior. Well-paced and wonderfully implemented alchemy system. Excellent excellent accessibility options with various text sizes, color filter, and audio settings. Offers a rewarding side quest loop for character relationships and rare items. Negatives, no English voice acting to contextualize a very emotional story. And town improvements are tied to hyper-specific recipes that slowed progression occasionally. So it sounds like this is more of a traditional Atelier game compared to the one.
Yeah.
This sounds like Nelky, but Nelky done right, where a bunch of the old characters kind of like show up and have their own little storylines, and you could have them join your party. But, you know, like Nelky was kind of a hot mess, and this sounds much better done.
Well, I mean, if we're going by score, this is better than Final Fantasy Tactics.
Oh, there you go. Got to play this. To heck with FFT.
Because, I mean, the new Atelier that came out this year, whose name I'm blanking on, Yumiya? I think that was what it was.
I think Atelier Yumiya was it. Let's see. Atelier
Yeah. It was a good game. It really dialed back the alchemy. It felt more like an open world. Sorry, what?
More like an action game. Sorry.
Yeah. Whereas this one sounds like a more traditional Atelier game.
So Atelier Wrestleriana. It's out now.
So, wow. Talk about a bounty of riches this year, getting two Atelier games in the same year.
Yeah. We don't know when those gust people sleep.
We've got a Dungeons & Dragons Neverwinter Nights 2 Enhanced Edition review from Luis Mauricio. They gave it a 3 out of 5.
Oh, okay.
They played it on PS5.
I was wondering how this would turn out.
Pluses are highly personalized characters. Negatives are constant bugs. Ooh. Some features haven't aged well, and an unfriendly user interface.
Ooh. All the things you'd hope would be dealt with in a remaster enhanced edition. And it's Aspyr doing it. Come on, guys. PS5, Xbox, and Switch. If you remember from back in the day, because you're old as dirt like me, Neverwinter Nights 2's DLC got really good reviews, or at least one of them. I think most of them. So the idea of bringing it back and improving it and then being able to maybe go back and do that DLC, since I missed it back in the day, was always like, I was excited for that. And then for it to turn out that it's full of bugs and unpolished and stuff makes me sad.
Who did the Landscape Torment and all of those readings?
Beam Dog, right?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't think they're around anymore. They're not doing them anymore. Now Aspyr picked up this one to do, and Aspyr's been usually does pretty well. I don't know what's going on with this one. Maybe we'll get a bunch of patches though, and it'll be like fantastic. I don't know. How long's it been out? July 15th. Okay.
And then finally, we have an interview with Patrick Hollerman of Quartet.
Yay.
Patrick Hollerman and Tyler Meyer. Forgive me, I'm bad with names. Was Patrick who we talked to when Paws was hosting?
I thought it was Tyler, but I can... Hold on, let me look back. Probably have it on here. Patrick. It was Patrick.
Okay.
This is Patrick.
So Patrick was on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. Very nice gentleman. And Ryan Costa did an interview with him that you can read on our site about the game Quartet, which is a nice little throwback to the 16-bit JRPGs of yesteryear.
Every time I play Quartet, I'm just so happy the whole time. Which then inspires a lot of questions like, well, then why aren't you playing more of it? Like, well, I'm...
You subconsciously don't want to be happy.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not letting myself have fun. I think I'm going to blow through that game this week, actually. So we'll see how I do next week.
You know, sometimes you get sucked into another game and it's like, I should be playing the game I started, but then you don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, my temptation is going to be tactics this week, I think. And if I don't jump right into tactics, then there's going to be the chance that I never start tactics because I'm worried about jumping into tactics and not liking it. And that I overthink things. Like this transition to we're done with the show, right?
Yeah. And what we're going to be playing.
Oh, there was that one Tam tacked on the Great Villainous.
Oh.
Strategy of Lily review from Michael Baker.
What was, hang on. Trying to get to it. See.
Oh, this is a new game. This is not, I'm used to Michael doing lots of retro reviews.
Yeah. So this is on Windows. I think this is a game about a sort of a visual novel clone about a lady being a villainess.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of tactical strategy stuff along with some visual novel elements.
Is this an isekai?
It's like, no.
Oh.
But Michael Baker gave this a 3.5 out of 5, saying that it has a strong shoujo manga style in the portrait art, quick three-wave combat pacing, a nice soundtrack, an active and practical autosave function. The negatives are a punishing final act for the good ending and a tendency to throw the player in the deep end with regularity.
This looks complicated.
Yeah.
But I guess it isn't. I don't know. And some translation issues.
Board almost looks like Risk.
I like VODs. Yeah. Why is game saving a feature? Maybe I don't know, VOD. Maybe once you play the game, maybe the way it does it and communicates it to you is just really helpful in a way that you notice. I don't know. It's possible. Like it gives you like just automatically knows exactly when you would want the saves to be and has them all done for you and makes it easy to choose going back to how many turns back you want to go or something. Maybe you're making me speculate, but we'd have to play it to understand.
A game like Fire Emblem or Tactics Ogre Let Us Clean Together, I feel like does it great where you can just rewind or go back turns. And I wish more strategy games would implement that.
I don't know. I'll be honest. It trivializes the games that have that.
I don't think it does.
Okay.
It's just you kind of... It's basically not wasting your time.
But there's also no consequences to bad decisions.
Well, yeah, true. But there's also like not losing hours of progress because you wasted your time trying to hit something that isn't going to land.
I mean, if you're the sort of person playing on easy to just get through the story and you don't care about the challenge of the gameplay, I guess that that is only a good thing to have that additional flexibility, right? Mm-hmm. But there's got to be some sort of balance. To make the gameplay enjoyable and like having it be a meaningful challenge that's fun to overcome rather than just hard for hard's sake. And also respecting your time and giving you these cool flexibility features like return. Oh, whatever. I don't know the answer to this.
Like playing Fire Emblem on hard difficulty, for example, when people lose a unit, they end up restarting the fight from scratch anyway.
Right.
So, if you're going to go to the trouble to restart the fight from scratch, then you might as well just have the ability to roll back a couple of turns to figure out what you did wrong. It's basically the same thing, just at a lesser level.
You're not wrong, and yet, all of a sudden, it's changed how the game feels to play. No longer is it an accomplishment to keep all those units alive. And so that's... But also, you're no longer burdened by it, so that's a good thing. But also, then you start thinking, well, then what's the point of this? Anytime someone dies, I just do it a little differently. I may as well just be playing on easy. I'm more or less invincible. I have the ability to correct all my errors. So what is even the point of the challenge? And I think what those rewind systems do is really kind of expose any sort of flaws about the funness of a game's difficulty. And makes it like, why am I even playing on anything higher than easy? Oh. And so I feel like we need somebody to come up with a good way to have challenging, interesting gameplay that results in you not wanting to rewind all the time.
I mean, you've played those games on the hardest difficulty before.
Yeah.
What would you rather do? Rewind?
I'm telling you my thoughts on it. Like, that's where that's coming from, is like, I'm getting there because I'm playing it on hard and rewinding and being like, what even is the point of playing on hard now? It's like, it's not fun on any difficulty. It's just a matter of like, did I die or not? Because like, the choices I make in the middle don't matter. It's like, the character's alive, they're not. And if they're not, I'm going to rewind.
I guess the answer is there needs to be a mode that basically makes you live with the consequences, where that you can't restart the battle from scratch. But then nobody would play it at that point.
Right. So, sure. Like, I just think Fire Emblem has had a gameplay problem for multiple games now. Like, 10 plus. Like, it's not new. It's a problem they've had for a while.
And I mean, I don't have a dog in this fight, because I will never play a game mode like that. I will play on the easiest difficulty because I don't want to waste my time.
Which is a shame, because like, the GameCube one and the Wii one, they're pretty good. Pretty good story.
Love them. My fave.
I want to play the GameCube one and the Wii one, and if I am going to play this, I'm just going to have to live with my choices, and I've heard that those actually aren't that hard. I'm talking about playing like Awakening on Nightmare difficulty.
There's no point, because you just, well, Awakening, you can't rewind, can you?
No.
Okay.
That wasn't until Three Houses.
Right. Okay.
I'm talking like Fates
could.
I'm talking like highest difficulty, no rewind, no revival.
Okay. Yeah, because that's the other thing. You just do Phoenix mode. I don't know. Yeah. Nothing feels right. No matter what they do, what I try, it's like not right. And I feel like Fire Emblem has felt not right for a while. And that's completely irrelevant to this review of a game which is not Fire Emblem. It is The Great Villainous Strategy of Lily. So let's get back to that topic, I guess.
How did we get on this?
I don't know. Auto saves, I guess.
Okay. I just don't like losing an entire evening of progress is my issue.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
And I know that the fun of massively hard Fire Emblem is figuring out it being basically a puzzle at that point, and not necessarily a strategy game where you got to figure out, okay, what do I do on this map to get through? And I understand how some people find that fun. I just don't.
And different games do it differently. Like XCOM, it's kind of expected. You are going to have characters who die. And you will have a punishment from that. I mean, like, if you've got that character very much leveled up, it's a loss if you lose your sniper that you've had for, you know, 20, 30 missions and is really advanced and has all the entire skill tree, you know, like, filled out. Like, that's a huge, devastating loss, but you have to live with it. That's like part of the fun of it.
You're not missing out on story because of it.
No.
Fair. I think that's part of the big issue.
Yeah. Which is part of the reason why older Fire Emblem games had like 60 characters. The thought was, is that like, some of them are going to die along the way, so we'll give you new characters.
And we decided we don't like that. So we're not going to play it like that. We want them all to live. I don't know.
And part of why I like playing like Awakening and Conquest and all of that on the easiest difficulty with the what's it called?
Phoenix.
Phoenix, yeah.
Not even Phoenix mode, just the non-permadeath one where they come back at the
end. At the end? Yeah, I don't remember. Phoenix is the one they come back the next turn, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I don't play on Phoenix. That's a little bit too easy for me. But the one where they come back at the end.
Hairfrog says it's called casual.
Casual mode. The reason why I play on casual mode Fire Emblem is basically Shining Force at that point.
Mm. which would be fine if you didn't have so many characters.
Yeah.
And that, so then it goes the other direction. Now you have too many characters if they're coming back. And so, like, I think that might be the way it should go. And yet that's, they haven't really balanced one around that. So I don't know. Cyriel did nightmare / casual and on engage. So like get through the fight with your units, then they're all back at the end. And I guess the downside of someone dying is, you know, they didn't get to level up.
And I don't necessarily, wouldn't necessarily mind nightmare / casual. It's the permadeath that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that I just like the fact that all of these options are there. It's funny hearing about the discourse about Hollow Knight Silksong and its difficulty, and people saying, you know, if you're struggling, just take a break with Silksong, and that being kind of triggering for some people. Like, why would I take a break from a game I like? like, I don't know, maybe because you don't want to put your Steam Deck through a wall.
Who's putting their Steam Deck through a wall?
I wouldn't, but that's because I buy my own consoles. I've been mad enough at a game before that I've wanted to chuck it, but if I get that mad, it's like, okay, I'm gonna go do something else for a while. I should go pet my cat. Calm down.
All right. I'm going to let us all go pet our cats because we are done for the week. We did a show.
Yep.
Yay.
It was a good show.
Yay. All right. So with that, I'm going to ask you what you're going to play next week. Kelly.
I'm actually going to boot up Bado Monogatari, the Puyo Pop act kind of school-themed action RPG. Because that had a price drop, and okay. I ended up picking it up. And I think that'll be a nice little bridge for me between that and Pokemon. And I'm playing it on PS5, so I can jump around.
Mm.
But right. Also, I want to finish Blippo TV.
Ah, Blippo TV yeah. Plus. Yes. Blippo Plus, Blippo TV Plus, Blippy Blip. Josh, what about you?
Well, if work doesn't kill me, I'm going to finish XCOM 2 and then dive into FFT.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm curious if this new one is going to do it for you.
I hope so. PSP version was not it for me.
It wasn't for a lot of people.
It was way too slow. But
loading times were a big issue.
Yeah.
All right. I'm committing to playing Quartet this week. So
okay.
Awesome.
I want to do this. I want to finish it, which I don't know. I don't think it's that long. So maybe that's achievable. Since I'm feeling a lot less pull towards Final Fantasy XI private server play, really the big villain here will be Final Fantasy Tactics, if that distracts me. So we'll see how that goes. I'm at a work event for much of the week, so I might not get... It might derail me anyway. But yeah, Quartet seems cool. So we'll be working on that.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
I have that wish listed. I just want the time to be able to play it.
Goodbye. Then play it. Then you have the time.
Yeah.
Instead of playing Monogatari or whatever.
I've just bought other games that I also want to get into.
Yeah, I know. I can never decide. So. All right. Go play your games, everyone. Whatever you choose. Yep. We support you. Have fun. And reach out to your friends and make sure they're doing well. And then go pet a cat. Mm-hmm. We will see you next week. Stay tuned for more streaming this weekend, like Hair Frog tomorrow, Tam tonight, and just, you know, all the other stuff throughout the week. Peter and Leo Grimm and Scar. And we will catch you on the flip side of next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.